Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
I'm tracking a thunderstorm producing quite a bit of lightning and perhaps some small hail. I'll put a storm track on it and show you where it's headed next and when coming up.
Also, right now at 7 o'clock, a community is mourning the loss of a child this Memorial Day after the 10-year-old was hit by a car.
This charred car is one of several random car fires we've been tracking over the last few weeks in North Raleigh. Hear the warning the owner has for you.
And taking a live look at Lake Gaston tonight as a storm closes in on that area right now. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Let's take a look at the radar as we see some of the rain moving in. Who is getting hit by it tonight? And it's something we're going to have to, I guess, get used to over the next few days. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center tracking this system for us, Kat.
It's a bit unusual from our day-to-day when we track thunderstorms. These storms are moving from east to west instead of the typical west to east. So the storms that are moving through Halifax County right now in Northampton County are headed for Lake Gaston and could eventually reach Carr Lake and closer to Vance County. We'll track these storms as they continue to move to the northwest around 25 miles per hour. Elsewhere, it's just a little bit of drizzle. This thunderstorm is producing quite a bit of lightning. It's not showing a hail signature right now, but I did see a brief one. Not out of the question with the upper level low that it could produce some small hail. And if I put a storm track on this storm, Lake Gaston will be hit by the storm momentarily, depending on what part of the lake that you're on. Littleton 747, Warrenton 820, and South Hill, it could arrive closer to 8:30, though we should see the intensity die down after the sun sets. Futurecast, we got a new update in of Futurecast, and it is showing most of these thunderstorms deteriorating by about 10 o'clock tonight. Still, some showers could pop up again tomorrow. I'll have a closer look at that and temperatures coming up.
All right. See you then. Thanks, Kat. Meantime, you can take the radar with you anywhere, anytime with the WRL Weather app. It is free to download wherever you get your apps.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center right now. New at 7 o'clock, our photojournalist giving us live pictures from the scene off of Lynn Avenue in Fayetteville. You can see officers here. They're focusing their attention on that dark-colored sedan on the right side of your screen. We have confirmed one person is in custody right now being questioned about this shooting that happened about 2 hours ago, and one person is currently at the hospital being treated for those injuries. We don't know the circumstances surrounding this shooting, but police did say to us here in the Live Center they do not believe this is a random act, so it appears the two people involved did know each other. We'll keep you up to date as new information comes in on this breaking story north of downtown in Fayetteville tonight.
Mark, thank you. Taking a live look at a dreary Wrightsville beach right now, one of the beach towns seeing rough surf. The National Weather Service says at least 18 people were rescued along our coast over the Memorial Day weekend. Officials say most of the rescues were yesterday, and at least 5 people were pulled from the water today.
A Raleigh man known for his enthusiasm for North Carolina politics and commitment to being a change maker has died in a boating accident at the coast. Conan Morgan, a political strategist, was 42 years old. The Cape Lookout National Seashore has not confirmed Morgan died in the incident. They did say one person died after a boat was hit by a huge wave yesterday. This was on Shackleford Banks near Beaufort. The Park Service says 3 men were ejected when that wave hit. News of Morgan's death spread quickly on social media today. Local and state politicians, including Governor Cooper, have posted their condolences as well as members of Congress.
And more tragic news today. Police say a child is dead after being hit by a car while on a scooter in an Apex neighborhood. It happened this afternoon around 1 off Apex Barbecue Road on Woodall Crest Drive. Neighbors tell WRAL they didn't see the crash, but several people ran over afterwards and tried to help. One person even performed CPR. The child was taken to a Durham County medical facility where they died. We will bring you any updates during our late news at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 here on WRAL.
Just a heartbreaking story. So this long holiday weekend is coming to an end. Families coming home from their destinations tonight. Mark Boyle is tracking the travel rush for us in the WRAL Live Center and any of the issues you might need to know about. And our Julian Grace live at RDU. Julian, how are things going out there at the airport as everybody flies back into Raleigh-Durham?
Well, Dan, as you know, it's been a very busy day here at RDU. Passengers have been coming in and out of the airport here. And many of those passengers that we talked to, in fact, all of the passengers that we spoke with, said they had no problems with their flights today. That's great news, right? Let's go inside. We want to show you some video of the hustle and bustle inside there. We caught up with passengers just before they headed to baggage claim. Now, last year, you might recall there were meltdowns at airports across the country because of staffing issues, including at RDU, where there were massive delays and more than 8 cancellations. This year, no major problems to report here at the airport. And one passenger shared her experience on her flight today.
Try to be as prepared as you can be, but there's always the fear of delays or unexpected things. Just anxieties are a bit higher, but yeah, everything was really smoothless. And
So great to hear that things went well for the Holloway family. Coming up tonight, all new at 10 and 11, Dan, we will talk about what other factors were at play and making sure flights were smooth this weekend.
All right, sounds good. So far, the skies are friendly. Julian Grace, live at RDU. Thanks, Julian. Let's go to the Live Center and talk to Mark. You know, we've been talking, checking in with you throughout the evening, Mark, and the roads have been surprisingly clear for a holiday weekend coming to a close.
Smooth sailing. Julian talks about the airports. We'll talk about the roads. No major issues, Dan. You look at the map right here. All the green indicates it is up to speed and no major delays. Red or purple would indicate problems. We're just not seeing that, and so that certainly is some good news. A live look outside for you right now. This is I-40 at Trailwood Drive. You see it, the sun actually peeking out right there, drying out the roads. It has been an afternoon of no issues out on the roads. If that changes, of course, you'll see it right here first in the Live Center. Back to you.
All right, Mark, and if you were out on the roads, you may have noticed cheaper prices at the pump. An update from AAA today shows the average cost of a gallon in North Carolina is $3.29. That's the same as yesterday and down a cent from Saturday. It is well below what we saw this time last year when prices were around $4.35.
Goldsboro police say an Air Force veteran was shot and killed by two men trying to rob the store where he was working. Police say 46-year-old Alex Thomas was killed at the Family Dollar on Wayne Memorial Drive Sunday. You see him there. Officers arrested two men, 20-year-old Yahim Fryer and 24-year-old Aaron Kopech. Both are charged with murder and armed robbery and being held without bond currently. Loved ones say Thomas was a strong, confident person with a magnetic personality. Instead of sharing Memorial Day with him, they're left struggling to understand this loss.
It's not fair what happened to him. He didn't deserve this. He had so much going. He was working so hard. It's just been a really long night.
Thomas's family is still trying to figure out funeral arrangements after this sudden loss.
Fires have damaged or destroyed at least 7 cars in neighborhoods just outside the Beltline in Raleigh this month alone. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker has been on the scene of several, including this one on Grand Manor Court last weekend. Police believe some were intentionally set. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm talked with the owner of one of those cars.
The latest 2 car fires happened here at the Point at Midtown apartment complex in the parking lot just off Navajo Drive. You can see the damage. This is where one of those burned cars was parked. Another one parked in the spot right next to it here.
A tow truck takes away the scorched shell of a car that burst into flames just before 1 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot of the Point at Midtown. We've reported on several mysterious car fires this month, all within a 5 to 15 minute drive of each other in neighborhoods between the Beltline and 540. All have happened late at night or early in the morning. On May 4th, police believe someone set 2 vehicles on fire in the parking lot of a shopping center on Craftsman Drive. On May 20th, firefighters put out this car fire on Grand Manor Court. Yellow and red investigation markers still surround the mounds of charred metal in a parking spot there. That same morning, about 6 miles away, a car went up in flames along Dixon Drive. You can see piles of burned wreckage here. At the time, police told us they did not think those fires were intentionally set. But 2 days later,
you can see the inside. Nothing's burned inside the car.
Tony Yamamoto got a call from police.
This was like this, and they said it was arson.
Broken glass, burned metal, and melted rubber surround the Hyundai he parks here on Pleasant Valley Road.
They think something was set off underneath the cars. That's what I've been told.
Yamamoto suggests parking in well-lit spots with cameras nearby and keeping a watchful eye out.
I hope that it leads to somebody finding out who's doing it. If, you know, it sounds like there's other people dealing with the same thing in the area.
So far, investigators haven't said what they believe started the two car fires here at the Point at Midtown apartment complex. But this is less than 2 miles from Craftsman Drive, where police suspect arson in those two vehicle fires earlier this month. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And we reached out to Raleigh Police to find out how many fires involve arson and whether they're connected. We didn't hear back today, but we will continue to work to learn more about the investigations.
Still ahead, today we pause to honor the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice serving our country. A look at the local events paying tribute to our fallen military members coming up. Plus, a bus driver in Charlotte loses his job and nearly his life after an argument with a passenger escalates to the unthinkable.
Is recovering after being caught in the crossfire during a shooting while on the job in Lenoir County. Officials say she was shot in the arm and is expected to make a full recovery. The shooting happened last night. Investigators say someone inside a car started firing at another car. One of those cars then crashed into the ambulance and the paramedic inside was shot. Another ambulance came to take the paramedic to the hospital. The Lenoir County EMS director says his department is looking at bulletproof vests for paramedics.
It has been discussed and it has been a priority of something we want to look at in the future. Again, just trying to find funding to appropriate those vests. Unfortunately, I've been doing EMS for about 25 years now, and unfortunately, as we go on, it's just getting more dangerous for our providers.
The suspect, 23-year-old Brennan Hill, was later arrested and charged with 5 counts of first-degree murder. Police expect more arrests in this case.
Terrifying moments caught on camera here as a passenger and a bus driver start shooting at each other on a city bus in Charlotte. Police say last week, 22-year-old Omari Tobias wanted to get off the bus before the next stop. However, the bus driver, now identified as David Fullard, declined that request. Police say Tobias got agitated by this and pulled out a gun. That's when Fullard also pulled out a gun and the shootout started.
My instincts when I seen guns and I heard gunshots was hit before. There was a young lady on the bus and she was saying, open the door, you know what I'm saying? So I was trying to pry the door open, you know what I'm saying? But of course, you can't do that. Button has to be pushed.
You can't imagine being a passenger on that bus. Both Fullard, the bus driver, and Tobias were both hurt, but they have recovered. Tobias now faces charges, and Fullard was fired from driving city buses.
Durham's police chief is highlighting a new approach the department is using to fight crime. They call it risk-based policing. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger explains how it works.
Durham's police chief spoke to city council late last week during a budget session, and she touched on a number of areas within DPD. One of the things that she highlighted is called risk-based policing. She explains the department is using data to identify not just where crime happens, but why, based on environmental risk factors. She said the department is working with other city agencies then to improve communities. She gave the example of working with Parks and Rec after high crime at one of the parks here.
In an effort to really streamline and make more efficient how we serve our community.
In her presentation, the chief also touched on staffing. With about 21% of officer positions open, they continue to try new things. And one of those, they are now offering $5,000 referral bonuses to employees who recruit someone to join the team here. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News, Durham.
We explored gun violence in Durham in our WRAL documentary, Durham Under Fire. You can find it in the WRAL doc section of our website or listen to a podcast we put together as part of the project. That's available wherever you get your podcasts.
Durham leaders continue to move forward with expanding the city's team of unarmed first responders. Last week, the city council heard a budget presentation from the director who oversees what they call HEART, the Holistic Empathetic Assistance Response Team. The plan is to expand the program from 11 hours a day in only one portion of the city to 12 hours a day citywide. The city budget calls for about $6.5 million to make that possible.
This week, Fort Bragg officially transitions to being called Fort Liberty. The redesignation ceremony gets underway Friday morning. Bragg Boulevard will also get a new name Friday, becoming Liberty Boulevard on Post. Fayetteville city leaders will decide if that change will extend off Post as Bragg Boulevard extends through the heart of the city. Taking a live look at Lake Gaston right now. Well, it looks like they're clear skies, but meteorologist Kat Campbell, I know that you have been watching this area in particular.
Yes, and Lake Gaston is a long lake from west to east, so parts of the lake seeing rain right now. Other parts still dry, but we are expecting these showers and storms to continue to move to the west. I will say the lightning has really died down over the past hour in this thunderstorm, and it should continue to do so after sunset. That's certainly a good sign. We don't like to see lightning, especially headed toward a popular lake on a holiday like today. Elsewhere, it's been just a few sprinkles toward the sand hills, but zooming in on this thunderstorm, you can see it is dying down quite a bit. Before, we had red, even perhaps some small hail as it was in the eastern part of Northampton County, but it has weakened. It's still moving to the west, and it's going to be filling in right here along Lake Gaston, but mainly in the form of rain, still a little bit of lightning. A live look from the Point restaurant, really not seeing much activity just yet, but let's talk about temperatures. It's been an unusual day where our northern counties have actually been warmer than our southern counties. Very limited days that this happened. 73 right now in South Hill, 73 in Rocky Mount, and that's why there are some thunderstorms in the northern part of our area. You did get to see some sunshine. That's your good news. The bad news, it energized the atmosphere and allowed for some of the thunderstorms to develop. Our southern counties only in the upper 60s, still stuck under the overcast or mostly cloudy skies. But temperatures are going to be going up this week. 83 is our normal high this time of year. We're below that for the next few days, 70, mid-70s. A lot of cloud cover, not an overcast all day long, but more clouds than sun. By the second half of the week, we'll start to see some improvements. High temperatures should warm into the low to mid 80s. We are going to see clouds build back in overnight. I know many of us were treated to a little bit of sunshine later in the day today, and we will take every ounce of it we can get, but we still have low pressure sitting here and spinning, and what that's doing is drawing all this moisture from the Atlantic inland, and that'll fill in the lower levels of the atmosphere, and that's why we expect the clouds to develop again overnight into tomorrow. And similar to today, we could see some spotty showers, maybe even a stray rumble of thunder tomorrow. High temperatures tomorrow range from the upper 60s in Roxborough to upper 70s in our southern counties, where there should be a little bit more sunshine tomorrow to really help you warm up. But otherwise, we are going to be mostly cloudy to start the day with some partial clearing of the clouds by the afternoon. So not the full overcast during the afternoon. If you do need to get a dog walk in, I actually think you'll be better to do it in the morning. There could be a sprinkle out there, but it would be a very light sprinkle and it would be very isolated. Otherwise, just mostly cloudy start to your day. Wednesday, rain chances continue to go down 30%, so it's just isolated showers on Wednesday. By Thursday and Friday, rain chances down to 20%, and with the lower rain chances, temperatures are able to climb back into the 80s, finally starting to feel a little bit more like summer as we turn the corner into June. It's hard to believe that we're almost into June, and we've only had one 80-degree day within the past week, and we haven't even hit 90 yet this year, but we know it'll come. Oh, yeah. And, you know, sometimes when we see these lows, you can get the opposite end down the road. So we'll enjoy it while we can.
All right. Thank you, Kat. You know, I'm not hating the nice kind of slow increase
spring.
In temperatures this week.
Mm-hmm. They call that spring. We don't always get it around here. Still ahead, honoring our nation's military who died serving our country. We're going to show you the ways communities across our area paid tribute despite the weather. Back as we take a live look at the WRAL Azalea Gardens. You may not have been loving all this rain over the weekend, but I can tell you our century plant, I bet you it does. Oh, it's an amazing plant, as you see it right there in the center of the shot. If you haven't had a chance to stop by, please do bring the family. Check this out. It is a rare occurrence, this bloom we're witnessing. Today, people in Cumberland County gathered for a special service at Freedom Memorial Park, honoring those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom.
The weather may have impacted the size of the crowd in attendance, but it did not dampen the spirits of those who came out to honor those men and women. Wreaths were posted at monuments remembering the fallen of just about every war in which Americans fought and died. Just about anyone in this crowd can tell you a story about a loved one or a friend who served and why this day is so special.
We, you know, this, especially guys and gals that's been deployed a lot, we look at it a little bit differently. We continually think about those guys and gals that we lost in combat every day. I mean, they're never far from our mind because those are our friends, our comrades.
The fallen were honored with a gun salute and taps, and those still unaccounted for during war were remembered with the missing man table ceremony. The town of Rollsville celebrated those who've served our country with their annual Memorial Mile.
The Trail A in Main Street Park, lined with signs, displayed the men and women who have served, their dates of service and their ranks. WRL talked with a seventh grader who performed during the flag ceremony, who says he wanted to use his talents to show his appreciation.
In school, we learned a lot about the World War II and World War I and the Cold War era, and so that really appealed to me, and the bravery that they must have had to fight through these wars. And I just felt it was a great opportunity to show my gratitude.
That young man gets it, doesn't he? Several families participated in the Walk of Remembrance. The town says it wants the military community to know they are appreciated. Families were looking for a lot of things to do this weekend. The cookouts got rained out for the most part, so the movie theater became a big draw for folks. The live-action remake of The Little Mermaid made, we'll say, a splash at the box office this Memorial Day weekend.
This was a big one. It took in an estimated $95.5 million in domestic tickets in its first 3 days. The film could have brought in $118 million by the end of the day today. Oh, I love this music so much.
Classics.
Oh, that would make it the fifth highest Memorial Day weekend opening ever. Oh, man, it's just so good. Film starring Halle Berry, Melissa McCarthy. It's got a big, heavy-hitting cast.
I think we got to check it out before it hits streaming. My kids will love it.
I'm going to love it. Thank you for making WRAL your choice for local news.
We'll see you back here at 10 and 11.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.